Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are delighted to have you here with us today, and we appreciate you taking time out this afternoon to spend time with us as we look inside the scriptures and try to find the answers to the questions that are on your heart and on your mind concerning the things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 gives us a promise. He says that as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. And that would be Jesus Christ. He is the one that we go to get the answers. He spoke himself in John 12:48, saying, "The words which I have spoken will judge in the last day." So we understand that the words that Christ has spoken, his New Testament law, his New Testament commands that he put into place with the death on Calvary, on Golgotha, that he suffered, it is him whom we serve. It is him who we listen to. It is him who we follow. And that's why we are here. We just are here to let the Bible speak. This is a live broadcast, call in, question and answer, where you set the theme, you set the topic, you decide what the theme is going to be here on the broadcast with your questions. And all we're here to do is to facilitate and give you answers, the answers that are from God's word, book, chapter, verse. And if it's you happen to ask a question that's not there, well, that will simply be our answer. It is not in God's word. So that is why we are here, and we encourage you to go ahead. Don't waste any time. Pick up the phone right now. If you got a question that pertains to life and godliness, go ahead. Do not wait. Pick up the phone right now. You have multiple ways to contact us. The call-in number is 308-9564. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. We also have the text line available. The text line for you to text in your questions is 725-9283. 725-9283. We try to have multiple means of ways for you to contact us. And so we encourage you to take advantage of either of those opportunities. Maybe there's something that you've been thinking about. Maybe there's something you've been praying about recently, and you've been, you know, trying to understand, and you want God to be able to show you the answers. Well, the answers are in his word, and we're here to help you in that. And it is our earnest desire that you would just seek to know what God's will is for you in your life. And so once again, that's why we are here, and that's why we're offering the answers to the questions that are on your heart and on your mind. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, or we have the text line available. You can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283.
And a very good, pleasant afternoon to you. We hope and pray that our efforts today will be a blessing to you. March 15th, 2015, we are glad to be of service to you. Now, please get your Bibles out. Get paper and pencil ready to write down the answers. You provide the topic of discussion by calling in your question. The voice line is, both lines are available right now, 308-9564. You provide the theme. You are the one that controls the theme of this radio program. And so go ahead and get things rolling by calling in your question right now. Again, the voice line is 308-9564. Or you can text us if you'd rather with a cell phone, and that number is 725-9283. Now, all of our phone numbers are area code 843, so don't miss out on the participating in today's broadcast. Now, if you've got a family or relative that live in other areas of the country or world, they too can join us right now. If you want to go ahead and text them and tell them to tune in, they can go to the website, which is www.BibleAlone.com, and then hit the live stream button on the bottom of the page. Make certain if you're using a mobile device to switch it over to desktop mode, and then you will see that live stream button at the bottom of the screen, and listen anywhere in the world via the computer at the website. Now, there's another way that someone can tune in as well. If you've got a smartphone, then you can download an app called TuneIn Radio, and then do a search for WJNI 106.3, and they can also join us right now anywhere in the world through that out. So don't miss out. Let's find the answers to the questions that are on our minds so that we might be able to be pleasing to God when we stand before Him in judgment one day. One more time, the voice line is 308-9564. There's one line available. And again, that's 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Now, we've got a question coming in, but we'll go ahead and deal with the last question from last week we were not able to deal with, and that is dealing with women preachers. Their question is, women preachers, what about Deborah in the Old Testament and the women at the well? Well, that's a very good question. What about them? They were both, Deborah was called to be a prophet of God, and if you examine the context in which that was at, the men refused to lead, and thus she was the one that was called upon to lead because the men refused. And you can closely examine that story as it unfolds in the book of Judges and see that context. As far as the New Testament is concerned, Jesus told the women to go tell the apostles, the 12, that he had risen. Now, just going and carrying a message of that Jesus has arisen from the dead, does that constitute a violation of 1 Corinthians 14, where women are told to keep silent in the assembly, in the church? Well, no, that wouldn't constitute that at all. I wouldn't make that a violation at all. Nor would carrying that message that Jesus has arisen constitute a violation of 1 Timothy 2 and verse 11 and 12, where the women are told to be silent, but to learn in with all submission, and that they're not to teach or usurp authority over a man. So does that mean that they were taking authority or usurping authority over a man just by carrying that message? Right. No, it does not. That just means they're carrying the message. They were carrying the message that Jesus told them to carry, that he had arisen. And thus she told them, and they, Peter and John, ran to the tomb, and they couldn't believe it, but they did. They saw the evidence, and of course they know because they got to meet him not long after that in person. And so that's not a violation of the teaching in 1 Timothy 2, verse 11, 12, or 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 through 37. And so, therefore, we can see clearly that that is not a relative comparison at all. And those things did happen, but that didn't call them to violate other scripture. And ladies and gentlemen, whenever you hear someone going through and picking out things in God's Word at one place saying, well, see, this contradicts another place, you need to run, not walk, away from that teacher. Because God's Word is completely unified. It does not violate itself. It does not contradict itself. There is a unity all the way through. So let's be careful before we start listening to someone that says, well, this contradicts this over here and this contradicts over here, because they're approaching the Word of God the same way the devil does. And you don't want to listen to him, do you? So let's just let God be the one that tells us what we're to believe, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if it's not founded in God's Word, then we are asking for an eternal trouble. So, now, if you have a question, go ahead and call right now. Both lines, voice lines are available. 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have Ben calling in this question. Ben, thank you so much for listening to the broadcast, and we appreciate you calling in your question. His question today is on on Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. He wants a little bit further explanation of this scripture. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 says that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, in the context of this scripture here, we can't just read that verse alone. We must see what is talking about in prior in the context. It starts in verse 4 saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Well, so we're supposed to find joy in the Lord, in the things of the Lord. We remember that, and also Colossians 3:1, which tells us to seek those things which are above, which are on the earth. We're not on things on the earth. And so we recognize that he's telling us that we can find joy in the Lord. We can find joy in the things of God and heavenly things and spiritual things, and not only look for joy in things of the world. Then in verse 5, he continues on and saying, let your gentleness be known to all men, for the Lord is near. The Lord is at hand. And then verse 6, he says, be anxious for nothing. The word anxious carrying with the idea of anxiety or worry about anything. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication. Supplication also carries with the idea of a petition. What was a petition? Petition is something where you're trying to get something and you're getting a lot of people to be in accord with you or in agreement with you. Well, that's that same kind of idea. So he talks about by prayer and petition or supplication. He says with thanksgiving. So you're praying these things, but you're praying with thanksgiving. He says you let your request be made known to God. And then, verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So he's talking about here putting the focus on God. Once again, that is just a commonality throughout the scriptures, where your focus should be on God, on the things of God, things that pertain to him and what pleases him. We also remember John chapter 14. Verse 1 and 2, verse 1, where Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So he says, let not your heart be troubled. Your heart shouldn't be troubled about things. You should be able to put your care upon the Lord. As a matter of fact, James chapter 4 and verse 7 talks about how we're supposed to cast our cares upon the Lord. For he cares. I'm sorry, that's not James. That's 1 Peter. It talks about cast your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. That's 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 7. So we're supposed to cast our cares on him. And when we do that, when we trust in him, that's when that peace, the peace of God, surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And he said in John 14, you know, my peace I leave with you. And so that's what Jesus is. And he told us that. And so we can trust in him and what he says. 308-9564, 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. We are about to go to break, but even while we are at break, we encourage you to call in or text in your questions. We are still going to be available at break. While we're at break, we're going to be telling you about the Bible Correspondence Course, and we have a message there that we would like for you to take advantage of also concerning the Bible Correspondence Course, which is a great tool in helping you to gain your knowledge of what God's word is and an understanding of what his word means and how you can apply it to your life. That is the gift that is contained in the Bible Correspondence Course. And so we just encourage you to take advantage of that and sign up for that. We're about to go to break and tell you about that. But even while we're at break, you can call in your questions at 308-9564, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We want everyone to know how much we appreciate your desire to hunger and your desire for truth and your hunger and thirst for truth. We are thrilled to be able to see your participation in today's broadcast. We sure appreciate the calls that have come in thus far, and we pray you'll continue with the questions, and we will go to the Bible for the answers. Again, the numbers are 308-9564. That's the voice line, 308-9564. Both lines are available right now. You can call in your questions, 308-9564. Or the text line, if you'd rather, if you have a cell phone, you can text us at 725-9283. 725-9283. And that is the text line where you can text in via your cell phone, and we'll be glad to go to the Bible for your answers there. Either way, you are welcome to join us. You set the theme. You set the topic. God's Word gives the answer. Make no mistakes about that. We will give you book, chapter, and verse. Why? We do not apologize for this. And the reason is because in God's Word, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Not some, but all. if it pertains to life, if it pertains to godliness, the answers to the questions that are on our hearts are all contained in God's Word. So don't listen to a philosophy of man or a doctrine of some church, but or some kind of synod or any kind of group of people, council or otherwise. Let's listen to only what God says. And if you hear someone tell you God wants you to do this, and they do not show you that it is there in God's Word, book, chapter, and verse, then you should call them on the rug and let them know, listen, I don't want to hear you. I want to hear, thus says the Lord, and you've got to show me. You shouldn't tell me. I want to know what God says. And so hold us to that standard for sure, and we will be glad to be able to point out what God has to say in His Word. So get your questions in right now, 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the questions on your mind. Or you can text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak. Chuck, next question.
Yeah, we have Van calling in this question. Van, we appreciate you listening to the broadcast, and thank you so much for calling in your question. Van's question is concerning marriage, and he's asking if a woman is currently pregnant, you know, carrying with child, and she wants to get married in the church, is it okay? Whether or not she is a believer, does that matter? And also, can she wear white, since wearing white when you get married means that you're pure and innocent? And I'm assuming that this the fact that she's pregnant before being married, she would think that wearing white is not okay, since she wouldn't be pure. Well, concerning this, the attire and all that of being married and who can get married, well, God's Word shows us who can get married, who He allows to get married in terms of those throughout His Word that we see. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, really this whole chapter is talking about whether to remain unmarried or to get married. And it says nothing about anyone who is currently pregnant. It just talks about either, it mentions virgins and also mentions those who are married. He says that you should get married. And the fact that this person is pregnant before they were married, that may fall under what verse 9 talks about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 9, it says, "But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion." So concerning the sexual physical urges that people would have, if it's something like he says here in verse 9 that you cannot exercise self-control concerning that, then it's better to go ahead and get married. But concerning the attire of wearing white or what color, there's nothing like that in God's Word that we can give you an answer for. There's just nothing that. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that whole wearing white thing is just kind of a custom that man has come up with and been passed down. But there's nothing in God's Word that would specifically talk about wearing white when you get married. The only thing God talks about when getting married, he talks about the importance of staying married. He says that, once again, this is all throughout 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And then also Matthew 19 talks about being married and not getting divorced and not committing adultery or fornication while you're married. So God talks about things concerning marriage, like while you're married, but He doesn't give a whole lot about before you're married. Either you should just either get married and serve Him or remain unmarried and serve Him. But either way, serve Him. So that seems to be the only focus that God puts on it. Either serve Him with a spouse or serve Him without a spouse. Hopefully that's been helpful to you, Van. Once again, that was 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Really, you can read through that whole chapter, and there's a lot of lessons there, as well as Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, 308-9564, or the text line is available at 725-9283, 725-9283. Ricky?
Yes, we have a caller calling in this question from the last three digits of 919, texting in this question. Their question is, when I read in the Bible, people who saw angels had fear and were troubled. For example, Luke 2 and verse 12, and at that time, we see that's where the angel appeared to concerning the birth of Christ to Mary and such. At my grandmother's funeral, the preacher said, I just now saw 93 angels come and escort this woman to heaven, unquote. He did not appear to be startled or afraid. Can you help me understand this? I don't believe he saw those angels. Well, it's amazing what the preachers and those that will come up with in order to try and create a sensationalized and a following after them. And that certainly is a new one on us, but I'm sure that people try things like that all the time. But the Lord wants us to be wary of that. He wants us to make certain that we do not follow after men. In Acts chapter 20, for example, in verse 29, Paul warned them. He said, after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. That warning is given in 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Spirit expressly says, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And many other warnings are given throughout the Bible about being careful that we do not be carried away with such teachings as that, because even Satan himself can appear as an angel of light and his demons as angels of light to draw away disciples after them. And so I would be very much like you are there, very weary of that, and understand that when man comes up with something like that, you should be very, very, very careful and not proceed any further. But now let's go with that warning in mind. Let's go and see what Jesus told, a story about the rich man and Lazarus. And it says in the story, this is recorded in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through the end of the chapter. We do see that Jesus himself says this. Now, this is Jesus, of course. He is God, and so he's got every right to say something like this. But he says this story. He says, the beggar died, verse 22, and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. And so there we can see that there was an escort of this beggar named Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. So I don't doubt the process. I just, as you do, doubt his sensational, I'm going to count all of these, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, go all the way up to 93. And it's just absolutely absurd what man comes up with to sensationalize such a somber moment when someone's eternal existence begins. That is just absolutely amazing. And I would be careful also about anyone that would preach someone into heaven when you know good and well that they were not serving the Lord with any of their heart whatsoever. And yet that is something many in this radio audience right now can shake their heads and, yeah, boy, I've heard that, and I just can't believe they could say those things. And when you know good and well that they were not serving the Lord. And so there's a lot of that that goes on, and they just do that sometimes to get a following, sometimes to create a big audience, and just be very careful. Search the Scriptures. Know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, not from anyone else, especially someone on the radio like me right now. Don't trust us. Trust only God's Word. Again, the number right now is 308-9564. We're about to take a break. While we are at break, please don't hesitate to go ahead and call in your question to 308-9564. There was one line available. Or you can text us at 725-9283, and we'll be glad to answer your question live on the air today. Now, if you have not ever enrolled in the correspondence course, listen carefully to the information we're about to give you, because this will be giving you information that you can study on your own. It is absolutely free. You will learn things in God's Word that you may have never heard before. We live in a day, at least in our court system, where people are sworn to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But when it comes down to religion, anything goes. There's something wrong with that pitcher, don't you agree? Well, let's put our hearts on the Bible and find the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And may this tool help you and guide you into finding that whole truth. Again, while we are at break, you can continue with your questions. 308-9564. Here's information on that.
We are back live. Thank you so much for sticking with us. It is just past the 2 o'clock hour, so we got about just a little bit less than an hour left in the broadcast. Please take advantage of the opportunity and call in your questions at 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text in your questions at 725-9283. Or you can be like David, who we have on the air live, ready to ask his question live on the air. And David, are you there?
I am here.
Hello, David. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just great.
How can we help you?
Well, I have a question about what God told Balaam.
About Balaam?
God told Balaam, and the 22nd.
David, hang on 1 second. We're having a tiny bit of difficulty fixing something. Let's give us one second here.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead with your question.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. You ready?
Okay, go ahead with your question.
Okay, the question is that God told Balaam not to go with Baal, right?
Yes.
He said that do not go with them. Then put a curse on those people because I have blessed them. And if you would go down to the 20th verse, God came to Balaam that night and said, these men have come to ask you to go with them. And God said, go, but only do what I tell you to do.
Right.
But if you would go up to the 33rd verse, where the donkey speaks to Balaam, he saw the angel was standing in the road in front of them.
What's your question? Go ahead with your question if you don't mind.
The angel was going to kill Balaam if the donkey didn't see the angel.
That's correct.
So I want to know why the Lord told him not to go in the 20th verse, not to go in the 12th verse. I'm sorry. And then in the 20th verse, he came to him in a dream and told him to go. Now the angel could have killed Balaam. Why?
Well, if you notice in verse 20, God said, if the men come to you and rise, he said, if the men come to you and call you, rise and go with them, but only speak which I told you to speak, that you should do. Verse 21, it immediately says, so Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. It didn't say that the princes of Moab came to him. You know, God said, if they call you in the morning, if they call you, then go with them. But Balaam didn't obey God with that. He just rose that next morning and went ahead without the princes of Moab calling him first. And that's why when we get to verse 22, it says God's anger was aroused because he went. So God never told him, yes, go ahead and go. He said, if the men rise and come to you, then you go. But Balaam disobeyed God. Balaam didn't wait till the men came to get him. Balaam rose himself and went in verse 21. And that's why verse 22, it immediately says God's anger was aroused with him, because Balaam disobeyed him.
And that's why it's so important to pay attention to that little bitty word, if.
Okay.
Yeah, if is a small word, but yep, it's often the biggest word in the Bible.
Right,
if.
Right. And so he was punished for that. And a matter of fact, Moses was punished because he used the word we rather than the word God or him. And so he took credit away from God. You're to be commended for your question, though. That shows that you are quite a Bible student, and you saw some kind of question mark there, and you wanted to know the dilemma on that or know the answer. And so thank you so much for that. We sure do appreciate your question, and glad to see you studying like that.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, and I hope you'll continue tuning in week after week.
All right. Have a great day.
Thank you very much.
All right, God bless you. Bye-bye. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-9564. That is the voice line, and both lines are available right now. And we hopefully will, I think they're both lines are available. Okay, yeah. Now, both lines are available, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We have a William calling in this question. He wants to know, when a pastor baptizes a child, is it God's will or man's will? Well, William, there's no example in the Bible of a child being baptized at all. Matter of fact, the word or the process of baptism, according to Colossians chapter 2, is paralleled to the idea of entering a covenant relationship with God. And so that covenant is an agreement between God and man. And so a child has to understand that covenant. And before they can enter into that covenant with God, they have to comprehend God. They have to have sinned against God. They have to repent of that sin. And all of that is involved, and a little baby cannot do any of those things. And so that's why it's not to be for a little child to be baptized. And then those that will defend such a practice as that, they will claim it is the Adamic sin. Well, there is no such thing as the Adamic sin. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, it says, "The soul that sins shall die." And so those are the individuals that have to be saved. That's those individuals that have sinned against God and are lost. And that's Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20. And so those are the individuals that can be saved. That is those individuals that had been lost. And that's not only just baptism. They must also believe, repent, confess, and then be baptized into Christ. Romans 6 and verse 3, 1 Peter 3:21, Acts 22:16 shows that it is for salvation to wash away one's sins. Acts 2:38 as well. Thank you so much. We sure do appreciate that. You're to be commended for such a question as that, and hopefully that is a blessing to you. Again, the number, if you have a question, 308-9564. Chuck, next question.
Yeah, we have a question with Joy. Joy asks, where in the Bible does it say women shouldn't wear pants? Well, Joy, that's a good question, and we have to approach this question with understanding a couple of things. We must understand that God's word is, you know, broken up into two testaments, you know, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so we must also know that Christ, as the verse we mentioned a little bit earlier today, John 12:48, where Christ says, "The words which I have spoken will judge in the last day." So we must know that we live under the New Testament and not the Old Testament. And so I bring that out because there is no place in the New Testament that talks about a woman wearing pants or not. There is a place in the Old Testament that talks about man shouldn't wear woman's clothes, a woman shouldn't wear man's clothes. That's Deuteronomy 22:5. And so we saw that recognized. But in the New Testament, the onus or the focus is God wants us to know concerning attire is all about modesty. So the point of wearing things that are appropriate or things that do not exhibit over sexualization or something that will cause too much negative attention. You know, that there's God, Jesus warned us, especially men, about those who look at a woman to lust after her, have already committed sin or already committed adultery with her in their hearts. So as a woman, well, as anyone, God says, you know, we should not share in other people's sins. So as a woman, if you know that men have a problem with lust and the, you know, way they look at women, well, then you as a woman should not do anything or wear anything provocative enough that would cause you to share in their sin of lust. So the modesty is what God wants us to be able to recognize. And so the New Testament scriptures that talk about that are 1 Timothy chapter 2, that's verse 9 and 10, as well as 1 Peter chapter 3. It is talking about that in verses 3 and 4, as far as what true beauty is, or what the beauty of God is the hidden person of the heart, with a gentle and quiet spirit. So what God shows as beautiful and what the world sees as beautiful are many times two different things. So once again, the New Testament does not specifically mention about attire, but it does give the thought of what you do dress should profess godliness and be modest. And so that was 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Thank you so much, Joy, for that question. We appreciate you listening to the broadcast. 308-9564 is the number to reach us, 308-9564. Ricky?
Yes, we have this text question sent to us from the last three digits of a 113. We sure appreciate all of you that are participating in today's broadcast. You are to be commended, and we are honored that you have such a hunger and thirst after what God says. This question is, if a child brings a fundraiser outside the church to church to sell, would that be just like Matthew 21, verse 12 and 13, when Jesus was against them who brought and sold in the temple? And, well, yes, and not only that passage, but also John chapter 2 and verse 16, where Jesus said, and he said to those who sold doves, take these away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. And he was rebuking them for buying and selling, and some even thieving as normal merchandising goes on even today. And man will continue to do those things. And they were reducing the house of prayer into a place of merchandise. Later on in the New Testament, God's people are warned against that there will be people who will come and merchandise his church or merchandise or take advantage of people. Now, this is a little child, and it's a school fundraiser. And so, obviously, he's not one of those evil-minded people that are trying to take advantage of other people. But you might want to do this if you want to support that group. Just say, now, here's what I normally do whenever I see that. I'll say, now, listen, I want to buy some of that, but you're going to have to call me at my home when I am at home and not just use this assembly as a time for you to pass around your order-taking sheet. And so, and about half the time, they will call me at home, and I will always buy. But as far as the time when we come together to worship God in spirit and in truth, and not to turn it into some kind of fundraising event, either for personal gain or for school gain. And so that's usually the way that I take care of that, whatever that's worth. That's just the way I handle that. And that is a common occurrence, certainly. And so, again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And you can text us at 725-9283. Again, there's no verse of Scripture on that, so they were kind of smiling at me. Mr. Ricky, there's no verse for that, and that's exactly right, because that's just a way to handle that to where that you don't offend. And of course, the Lord wants us to be that way. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, he says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks the reason of the hope that's within you with gentleness and respect. And that's what I was trying to suggest there. Again, the number is 308-9564. It's time for us to take our next break. While we are at break, don't miss out on this correspondence course. It is free. We will be glad to send it to you in the mail. You may be studying things in the Bible that you've studied over and over again. Well, there's a lot there that you may have not been able to find, a lot of treasure. Why not get this course in the mail so you can study and mine the Scriptures out to your benefit, a eternal treasure. Go ahead and enroll right now. Go ahead and call this. Jump ahead of everyone else. 553-5157. It'll be in today's or tomorrow's mail. So don't miss out on that. 553-5157. We'll be right back. I believe we've caught up on our questions now. So now's your chance to get your question in. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the questions on your mind. So don't miss out on getting your question answered on today's broadcast. The text line is also available, 725-9283, 725-9283. By the way, the voice line is 308-9564. We have a call coming through on the last three digits of 872, and so the voice line is not the 725 number. The text line is the 725 number. That text line is 725-9283. The voice line is 308-9564. And we're glad to be able to be of service to you, and you can call in your question right now, 308-9564. By the way, the Bible Correspondence course we just talked about and encouraged you in is absolutely free. And the reason it's so important that we have this means, or that you get this into your hands, is because you'll learn 10 times more from a personal study of God's Word, where you and the Bible are there alone, and you're able to see some things in God's Word that you may have never seen before. You may pride yourself in, I've read the Bible so many times, and that is awesome. But studying is different than just reading. Studying means you're harvesting the jewels, the treasure that is contained therein. And you may discover vital truth that you've never seen before, which maybe you've read several times. There's few Bible studies that I go to and teach that where someone said, you know, I've never seen that before. It happened this week twice, matter of fact, last week that is, twice. So most churches today are just restricted from telling the whole truth because they must stay within their denominational box that they have walled themselves in with. And if they venture outside of that box, then they're no longer that denomination. And so they must stay within those parameters in order to be happy to those authorities that are over them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the only authority that matters is Jesus Christ, our King, who is sitting on his throne, and he's going to have the final say, where we spend our eternal existence with him or without him. And it will all be based upon his truth. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So let's go to the truth to find the whole truth and not be walled in by some box that man has created. Go ahead and call for this correspondence course. It is free. 553-5157. 553-5157. It is absolutely free, and we'll get it in the mail to you even this week.
I wanted to clarify something I was speaking on when I answered Joy's question. I quoted a couple of verses, and I failed to actually give those verses to Joy concerning the women and their attire. So we mentioned the modesty, but I'm also mentioned about not sharing in other people's sins and how people would have lust. And so in Matthew chapter 5 verse 28 is where Christ said, I tell you, whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery in his with her in his heart. And then that was 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22 that talks about, do not share in other people's sins, keep yourself pure. And so those verses would apply to the women in their attire and modesty and wearing clothes that would not assist in a man lusting after her. So that was Matthew 5:28 talking about a man lusting after a woman. And that was 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22 that talks about not sharing in other people's sins and to keep yourself pure. Just wanted to add that on to Joy's question. And so, never let us ever give you an answer or just quote a verse of scripture without giving you what God's word says, because we don't want you to put your faith or your trust in us. We want you to put your faith and your trust in God and the word of God, because his word is how he speaks to us. It is how he communicates with us. It is how he helps us to know his will and what he wants us to do. And so that's why we put so much emphasis on the word of God, because that is what we use to get to know him. And in John chapter 1, in the Gospel of John chapter 1, it talks about the word. Why do we put so much focus on the word of God? Well, in John chapter 1 in verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. It talks about all things being created through him. And then when you get down to verse 14, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, that's Jesus Christ. So it's safe to say that the Word of God is Jesus Christ. So when we say let the Bible speak, you know, the Word of God speak, let Jesus speak. It is Jesus. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. He came and he dwelt in flesh. And so he left us with his word. And so that's why we are so adamant and so serious about following his word, because we just want to be Christians, you know, Christ-like, disciples of Christ, followers of Christ. And Christ himself is the word of God. And that's who we are. We're just followers of the word of God. So that's what we want you to be. And that's why we're here, just to help you in that. Do you have a question about that? Do you want to know more? Go ahead and call in at 308-9564, 308-9564.
And what Chuck is bringing out there is you just cannot separate his word from Christ. Many times people say, oh, I've got God in my heart. But then they go do things totally against what God's word says. Well, that's impossible. If we're not practicing his word, we're actually against God. We have Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, John 14:15. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So we can't separate those two, and that's why the word of God is so important. It is not only the word of the Father, it is the word of the Son, it is word of the Holy Spirit, it is God, Elohim, that we should be listening to today. Again, the number is 308-9564, that's 308-WJNI. We sure appreciate all of the calls that have come in so far, and we hope and pray that you have been blessed and that you are studying these things, writing them down, to be able to check these things out for yourself. And so we are happy to be of service to you. 308-9564, or you can text us. The text number is 725-9283. We have David calling in this question. David's question is, well, when does a child's sin begin? Well, David, that's a really good question. And if I could give you a book, chapter, and verse on that, I would. I can't, because there's not a verse of Scripture that says an age or a date or a time or even an event as far as that is when it occurs. But it is safe to say that being that sin is transgression against God, against God and his word, then the individual would have to be able to comprehend God before they could sin against God. And the only way I know to illustrate that is this way. And forgive me for the sake of illustrations as far as the way that, as far as what they come up with. But if a 2-year-old kicks a parent in the knee, have they sinned against God? Well, just about everybody I've asked that question to, they say no, because they don't understand God yet. To them, the parents are God. And of course, the parent should take that opportunity to teach that child that they have done wrong, and thus they have got to learn to respect authority. Well, then they get older, and they go to school, and they kick the teacher in the shin. Have they sinned against God yet? Well, again, there is nothing to suggest that they are old enough to comprehend God at that moment. They know there's another authority, teachers or principal, but can they really comprehend the existence of God yet? Well, maybe not. Then as they get older, then they can comprehend that there's police. And then as they get older, they can know that the police have to answer to someone. And eventually they grow to understand and can comprehend their bubble of authority has grown to the point there's somebody that is bigger than government or president or anyone else on the earth. There is God. And then once they go back and kick their parent in the shin, well, yes, now they've sinned against God. The same thing. It's just now they've comprehended that offense is against God himself, because God says, honor your father and mother. And thus they've transgressed against God and against his law, and then they've sinned. So hopefully, David, that is helpful to you. If someone is mentally damaged from a car accident or something, maybe an 8-year-old or 6-year-old or 4-year-old, and they never grow up, well, they'll never be able to sin against God, because they cannot comprehend that. And no one would disagree with that. Thanks, David, for your question. Again, the number, if you have a question, call in right now, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 425-9283. We're about to take our next break, and we want you to know that all of these breaks are about the correspondence course because we want you to get the most out of studying God's Word and not be restricted by doctrines of man or even listening to people on the radio like you're doing right now. We want you to see the truth for yourself. And when we send this to you in the mail, you can study it at the time it's right for you. If you like in the morning time best, then by all means, be a morning glory and let God bloom in your heart. Or if you are a night owl, then by all means, jump in God's Word in the middle of the night. Well, see, if we send this to you, you can study it at your convenience when you can concentrate the most. And we're happy to send it to you. Just go ahead and call 553-5157. It'll be in this week's mail. Now, as you get that in the mail, be sure you fill it out and send it back to us. We'll grade it, send you the next lessons, and thus the course continues as long as you desire. Again, that number, 553-5157. Don't leave this world without knowing what God expects of you. There will be a test. Make certain you pass it with a flying color. That would be red. That is the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing you from all your sin. Go ahead and get this course, 553-5157. We'll be right. We're back live now, and we're just happy that you have a desire to learn what God expects of us. And that is so very important, and we are encouraged by your desire to know the truth and studying the Bible for yourself. And why is this so important? Well, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so unless you see these things in God's Word yourself, then you're taking somebody's word for it. You will not be able to say on Judgment Day, well, my mama told me this. Mama is not the Lord, and she may make mistakes. Even if she taught you right, taught you what was right and wrong, and that's good. I'm so glad for that kind of situation, but that will not accomplish anything on the Judgment Day. You've got to know the truth for yourself. And that kind of truth can only come, and knowing it can only come from seeing it for yourself in God's Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So let's get into His Word to find out what God wants of us so that we will not be caught surprised on that judgment day. We want to make certain that we will be right when it comes down to what God expects of us on the judgment day. And while we're talking about that, let me go ahead and read Greg's question here. He says, at what age does a child die that they go to heaven if they know no sin? Will they go to heaven? Well, Greg, in order for us not to go to heaven, we have to sin against God. And when we comprehend what God says is right and wrong, and then we rebel against that, then that's where we die in our sin. Romans 6 and verse 23, chapter 3 and verse 23, all sin and come short of the glory of God. That is, when they comprehend and violate God, go against Him, well, then they sin against God. And the wage of sin is death. That's what we earn when we sin. If we die, a child, for example, dies before that occurs, well, they've never sinned against God, so therefore, they are completely still with their angel. They're still going to be escorted to heaven because God wants everyone to come to heaven. That's why He came to die for our sins. He prepared heaven for us. He prepared hell for the devil and his angels. He doesn't want anybody to go there. Back to that Ezekiel 18, He does not take any joy in anyone dying in their sin. But if we choose to go there, well, then certainly God will let us have our choice. Again, the number, if you have a question, 308-9564. Thank you, Greg. We sure do appreciate your question, and we hope that has been helpful to you.
We have a text question. Last three digits of this number is 422. Their question asks, will gays go to heaven? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 gives us our answer to that question. Starting in verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not. It says, do not be deceived. So he says, do not be deceived, because many people would allow themselves to be deceived. He says, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, adulterers, idolaters, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So he gives an entire list there of those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. And in there is homosexuals. There's also to consider this in Galatians chapter 5, a similar list. In Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the lust of the flesh and how it wars, the spirit wars against the flesh. And then in verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident. It says adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, reveries, and the like are things such as these, are things like these, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, you may say to yourself, out of all those things you read just now, I didn't hear homosexuals. Well, you didn't hear that, but you heard adultery and fornication. Well, the fact of the sexual act of performing homosexual acts, that is, will never be able to be done in a marriage setting, because God, he instituted marriage as between a man and a woman. There is nowhere and no way that God allows the marriage act to be between two people of the same sex. Therefore, if two people of the same sex are committing sexual lust with one another, that will always be fornication. Even if they were to get married by the world standards or man standards, that is still fornication in God's eyes, because God does not view the marriage of two people of the same sex as valid. So they will always be in fornication or adultery. And so that would fall under that. So once again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, and Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Hopefully that's been helpful to you, as well as anyone else who may have had that question. 308-9564, 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, or we have the text line available at 725-9283, 725-9283.
And now's your opportunity to get in. Both lines are available, 308-9564. That's the voice line. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Don't miss out on this, and you'll be glad to be able to get your question in on today's broadcast. Where you set the topic, we'll go to the Bible for the answer to the questions that are on your mind. We want you to know that we had Margaret call in. She wanted to know about the Bible study course. Margaret, you can call 553-5157 to get your name in, and we'll be glad to send this to you free of charge. Again, to get the Bible Correspondence Course, you can call 553-5157. And by the way, the area code is 843-553-5157, and we'll get that in the mail to you this week. It is absolutely free. And in this course, you'll be able to study things and learn things from God's Word that you may have never seen before. Because when we go to the Bible alone, then we're, in essence, taking our blinders off. See, the denominational doctrines or walls that are built in the various faiths, the various denominations, teachings that man has come up with, those walls have put blinders on us. And, of course, it is not God that wants us to be blind. It is the God of this world, the wicked one, puts these blinders on us to keep us from knowing the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And so what we need to do is to get into the Word, find what God desires of us, to find the truth so that we will not be restricted from God's Word. And so we need to make certain that we are going to be able to find these things for ourselves. Again, that number is 553-5157. We've got a live caller standing by, and we don't have your name, so go ahead and see, and you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Sam.
Oh, hey, Sam. How are you doing? Good to see you.
Hey, look, I've been studying this thing here, creation, for about 3 weeks, you know, and it's in Isaiah 7, Why study? Everything is right there. God provided for you. Can you give me some more information about that?
You said Isaiah 7?
Isaiah 48:7.
Oh, Isaiah 48 in verse 7.
Yeah, God says, I give you, creation now, not tomorrow, not next year, but right now. Can you give me some more information on that?
All right. Well, we're turning to that right now, and we sure do appreciate.
We might have to start with.
Okay.
We might have to start with chapter 6.
Chapter 6.
Because you always read above it.
Oh, you mean verse 6. Okay.
Right.
48 and verse 6 and 7. All right.
That's right.
Okay.
I've been studying creation for about 3 weeks now, creating ideas, and it's right there. Got to give it to you.
All right. It says, you have heard, see all this, and you will not, will you not declare it? I have made you hear new things from this time, hidden things, and you did not know them. They were created now and not from the beginning. And before this day, you have heard them, lest you should say, of course I knew them. Then verse 8, surely you did not. Oh, did I misread it? Okay. Lest you should say, I knew them. Surely you did not hear. You did not know. Surely you, for a long time, your ear was not open. What he's talking about here, Sam, is their hearts. Their hearts were not open to be able to see the truths that God wanted them to see and to hear the truths that they were not hearing. And thus the Proverbs that many times are used throughout even Isaiah, even into the New Testament, they had hearts, but they were hard. They had eyes to see, but they were blind. And their ears, they were dull, they could not hear. And so there were truths, even to the point where about creation and many other things, that their hearts were just not open to hear the truth. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was thinking that maybe if you see it in your mind, you'll have it in your hand. Just like if you look at your gas tank, hey, it's in my mind, I need to get some gas. Boom, it's in my hand, I got gas.
Oh, no.
I thought it was mostly pertaining to that idea.
No, and I'm sure people have taken that passage that way, but the whole passage is dealing with the Judah. He's talking to Judah, and he's chastening them because he had sent prophets to them, and they were not listening. Their attitude was going all the way back to the next generation from birth. It goes on to end verse 8 there. It says, and were called a transgressor from birth. And so it was the next generation was being brought up to also not hear the truth, and thus it was a chronic problem. And God's warning to them, he says, if you do not repent, if you do not listen to me, O Jacob, verse 12, that I am he, I am the first, I'm also the last. Indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth. My right hand has stretched out. In other words, they were not even listening to some of the most rudimentary, basic things of life. And he says, if you do not repent, then I am going to take you off into bondage. And by the way, that's what Isaiah is all about. That's exactly what God did. He took them off into bondage. The northern tribes were scattered throughout the world and never recovered. The bottom tribe, Judah tribes, they were taken off into bondage and brought back 70 years later.
That's correct. Right. Well, I sure appreciate it.
You're welcome. And he's using the creation subject to point out to them, hey, you're not even seeing this. From the very beginning, mm-hmm. You're teaching your own children how to have closed ears and blind eyes.
I see. Well, I got another question, but I'm not going to hold you up. But I appreciate it very much. As the old folks say, if I don't see you in the air, I'll see you over there.
Okay.
So you take care, okay?
All right, thank you very much. You can call, can call me anytime you want to, and we can talk.
Oh, okay, I appreciate it.
All right, then, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Again, the number is 308-9564. Time for us to take our last break. While we are at break, you can continue with your questions. We'll do our best to get to them. Again, the number 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live now. We're glad to be able to be of your service. And we want you to know that we are excited to see your desire to know the truth. We're going to speed up our process a little bit quicker because all the questions that have come in at the end of the program, it happens every week, and so we'll do our best to get to all these answers. Again, the number is 308-9564. If you want to try to get your question in, we'll try our best to get to the answer today. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Chuck?
Yeah, we have John. We have John calling in this question, asking about the name of John. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at that. But he was asking, where does the name John come from? He mentioned something about it wasn't introduced until the 1400s. I have no idea what that's.
I think that's talking about English. The English language might not have had it that way.
Oh, okay. Well, if we look in the book of Luke, we see that the name John was given to Elizabeth and Zacharias as the name that they were supposed to name the child that was being promised to them. And so we understand that it was, we see that there in Luke chapter 1, that's the name that the angel said that they would have to call him. And even some of Elizabeth and Zechariah's relatives said that, you know, there's no one by this name, you know, the name of John. Why are you naming him that? And his father was mute at the time, and he agreed with his wife and wrote on the tablet that his name was John. And so that's in the Luke chapter 1, that section is talking about the birth of John the Baptist as well as the birth of Jesus. And so we can see that there. But as far as any historical context of the English language or the name of John, well, that there's nothing we can really speak on. But the only thing about the name John that we see in the Bible of origin was in Luke chapter 1. So hopefully that's been helpful to you, John.
308-9564, 308-9564, to let the Bible speak. Rick?
Yes, we have this text question from the last three digits of 579. This question goes this way. It says, is there, and thank you so much for your question, by the way, is there a scripture that says that we're not under the law of the Old Testament and in the law of the New Testament, if I'm reading that correctly? If we are not under the old law, then is it okay for men to marry men? And likewise for women to, and why would Jesus tell us in Matthew 5 and verse 17, let's go ahead and read that, where it says, do not think that I have come to destroy the law of the or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. That's what the verse says. So I do believe we are still under most of the laws given to Moses by God. Again, I'm reading this text. It says, so we have to be careful about thinking that the law of old does not exist in the New Testament. Ephesians 6, verse 1 and 2, children, obey your parents, honor your father and mother, is a law that is God's command. Well, first of all, texter, I would encourage you to understand Galatians 5, well, actually, chapters 3, 4, and 5. Please read all those chapters. Let me just quote to you verse 5. It says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by law, you are fallen from grace. And so there, that's the toward the end of this discussion in these chapters 3, 4, and 5. If you go to Colossians 2, verse 14 through 17, it says, blotting out the handwritings of requirements that were against us, which were contrary to us, having taken them out of the way, having nailed them to his cross. So those laws, those commandments, the Old Testament law has been nailed to the cross of Christ. It ended with Christ's death on the cross. We will not be judged by the law of Moses on the judgment day. And so you bring up a good couple of verses that we've got to deal with. Matthew 5 and verse 17, Jesus came to fulfill that law, yes. And that was his purpose, one of the reasons he came. A scaffolding is put up around a building for a purpose, to be able to finish the building. But once the building is finished, the scaffolding is taken down. Jesus came to fulfill his purpose, and that is to fulfill that law. And once Jesus died on the cross, it had fulfilled its perfect purpose and was taken down for that law. The people that lived and died under that law, they'll be judged under that law. But now Jesus says, Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. So now we must listen to God. What about Ephesians 6, 1 and 2? That's a repeat of those laws. For example, 9 of the 10 commandments are repeated in the New Testament. So those 9 are valid because the new covenant says them, not because they were originally written down in the old covenant. So you get the point there. We sure appreciate it very much. Your question is shows you are desiring to know the truth and to work out some of these things. And that's where people tend to conflict with God's word when they play one testament off the other testament. Now we must listen to Christ. When Jesus said Matthew 28:18, all authority, he meant all authority, and that's what he has. Thank you so much for your question. Again, the number 308-9564. Next question.
We have David calling in this question asking, is wine bad for the body according to the Bible? Well, there's a verse in Proverbs that warns us about wine being a mocker and strong drink a brawler. And so it shows us that too much of it can be a problem. We also have verses that warn us that too much wine is a problem. However, a little wine is actually shown as something that may be good. If we look in 1 Timothy chapter 5 in verse 23, here we have the Holy Spirit using Paul to write this letter to Timothy. And in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy in verse 23, it says, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and for your frequent infirmities or your frequent illnesses. So we have here, he told him to use a little wine. Now this, you know, don't try to take that verse and run with it, but what he does say is use a little wine. But then we also must recognize Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 18. It says, do not be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation or which is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And so Ephesians 5:18 warns us against being drunk and drinking too much wine. But 1 Timothy 5:22 says that it's okay for a little wine. And so we must try to apply those scriptures as best we can and to not drink in excess. So hopefully that's been helpful to you, David, as well as anyone else who might have had that question. 308-9564, we got about a little bit less than 3 minutes left in the broadcast. We might be able to make a question if you try. 308-9564. Ricky, you
go. Yes, we have Troy calling in this question. He says, if a church official commits sin, does that church have the right to remove them, or they can just stay? Well, Troy, first of all, let me give you a couple of verses. James chapter 3, verse 1, those who teach, please understand, it says that they will have a greater judgment because they are putting themselves out there. It says they have a stricter judgment. James chapter 3, verse 1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall have receive a stricter judgment. Also, 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning with verse 17, again, here elders or leaders of the church, says, let the elders rule well, be counted of worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. Verse 19, do not receive an accusation against an elder except from 2 or 3 witnesses, and those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all that the rest may fear. And so there's your answer. Yes, they must be dealt with, and it's not a matter of there's a severity associated with it because they're such public figures in that capacity of leadership. But now, as far as those who have prided themselves up into positions of honor that God has never wanted us to be part of, then they should be very aware that God does not want any of us to take any authority away from God. It didn't work well for Moses. Didn't work well for Herod, who was eaten of worms. It won't work well for us as well. God, Christ, has all authority, and we've got to make certain he's the one that we're listening to, and he is actually the only official that is setting the rules and that we should be listening to him, Christ himself. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're just about out of time. We want to say thank you. Thank you so much for your desire to know the truth, to find the truth, and to follow after what God says. Remember, the Bible Correspondence Course, it will be sent in this week's mail if you would like to enroll in this. Don't restrict yourself by only listening to pastors or leaders in the church, because they're the ones that created this denominational stew that we see all around us right now that is all mixed up and you don't even know what to call it. Let's just go back to the truth from the very beginning, see what God's word says. Let us go to the truth, find the truth, follow the truth, and stand on nothing but the truth. So help us, God. Thank you so much for listening today.